Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Shlishi, the seventh day of the month of Av. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. If you would like to sponsor future calls, please visit ou.org/call. That is ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to introduce Rabbi Jonathan Bienenfeld, Mor D'Asra of the Young Israel of Cherry Hill in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Bienenfeld slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Zion, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 27, and 130. That will be followed by the Mishnah Berach Lecholim and Achinu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Bienenfeld to learn more about his community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Bienenfeld.
Thank you very much, and it's such a pleasure to be on. Wanted to share something with everybody this afternoon about the next couple of days and where our minds are going to be. Of course, over the course of the next few days leading up to Tisha B'Av, there's going to be one of the 13 of the principles of faith, one of the 13 of the Rambam's principles of Jewish faith, that rises to the surface more now than it does any other time of year, and this is the principle that rises to the surface more now than any of the other principles, of course, them all being of equal importance. But nevertheless, I think that what we probably have in mind right now is the one that's always considered the most famous because we sing it most frequently and it's been set to music more than any of the others, which is, of course, Beviyas HaMashiach, the coming of the Mashiach. And this is really the entirety of the theme of Tisha B'Av, that what Tisha B'Av is a mourning, not only of what once was, not only of the Churban of the destruction of the past, but also it's the constant struggle and the constant yearning and the bemoaning over the fact that the Mashiach hasn't yet arrived. We know that he'll come at some point, yet the fact that he hasn't yet leaves us in a state of mourning. There's a problem, of course. There's a problem posed really by the Rambam himself. The Rambam, if not authored, at least popularized these principles of faith, but a problem is posed by the Rambam himself really in the laws of repentance, and it runs as follows. The Rambam in the seventh chapter of the laws of repentance in Hilchos Tshuva notes that there's something of a sequence that's going to occur at the end of days. What is going to take place is that first and foremost, there is going to be a mass movement of tshuva, a mass movement, national movement of repentance that catches every single member of the Jewish people in its midst. And at that point, that is effectively going to serve as the catalyst or as the trigger, if you will, for the coming of the Mashiach. We perform teshuva, we perform repentance, and then Mashiach is brought in the wake of that wave of goodness and correction of all of our behavior. So the problem is as follows. How on the one hand can we assert our faith in Hashem, that Hashem, you are going to bring the Mashiach, I believe it every single day, that even though it might delay and even though it might not take place immediately or it hasn't yet taken place, in kol zeh achakelo, nevertheless, I'm going to long for it, I'm going to wait for it, that Mashiach might come every single day at every single moment. This is a measure of faith and of certainty that I have that it can come about at any and all times. How do we go about expressing our faith in Hashem that this can happen when the reality is that it's not completely predicated on what Hashem is going to do? Hashem tells us that it's actually predicated on our own tshuva, on our own repentance, on our being better, on our correcting our ways, on our correcting our path. What does it mean to say that we have emuna when it's something that is not completely up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, up to Hashem, to bring our way? Rav Soloveitchik answered this question in such a compelling and such a beautiful fashion. He said as follows, that when we speak about emuna, when we speak about faith in Mashiach coming, it is not only faith that is being expressed in Hashem, but it is faith that is being expressed in ourselves as well. If we truly believe that Mashiach can come at any time, and we must believe that Mashiach can come at any time, what we are in effect declaring is that we ourselves as a nation, as a people, are also capable at any moment of engaging in that massive movement of tshuva, that massive movement of repentance that the Rambam speaks about, that truly the Torah itself speaks about. It is a profound declaration not only of our faith in Hashem, but of faith in ourselves, our ability to change, our ability to correct path, our ability to become better today than we were yesterday and better tomorrow than we were today. There is a prayer that we recite every morning as soon as we wake up. We say, Moda Ani Lefanecha, we give thanks to Hashem for having restored our souls. And there is a line in which we declare seemingly faith in Hashem, in that He is going to return our soul each and every single day. That's what we begin with. That's what we begin every single morning with. And we convey that, Rabe Amuna Secha Hashem, how great is your Amuna, how great is seemingly your trustworthiness. I put my trust in you. I give you my soul at night. I wake up in the morning and there it is, back in my body, and this happens like clockwork each and every day. You're so faithful. You're so reliable. You're so dependable. Each and every morning, Hashem, you restore my soul back to me. The problem that many point out is that that's not what the word is. That's not what the word means. When we say Rabbe Emuna Secha, Rabbe Emuna Secha doesn't mean how great is your trustworthiness. Rabbe Emuna Secha means how great, Hashem, is your faith. We're not speaking about how trustworthy Hashem is, but about how, Hashem, you maintain such faith. Faith in what? Faith in whom? The answer, of course, is faith in us. That every morning if we wake up and we have a new breath of life, what that means is that, Hashem, you have conveyed your faith. You believe in us. You believe in me. Rabbe Emuna Secha, how great is your faith in me? You're going to give me another day of life. You're going to give me the opportunity to have another 24 hours. You're going to give me another day. That must mean that you have faith in me, that I'm not just going to squander it, I'm not just going to waste it, I'm not just going to throw it away. It's not just going to be the same old, otherwise I've already accomplished yesterday whatever there is that I could possibly accomplish. But rather, Hashem, you have faith and you have trust that I'm going to become better today, I can be better today than I was yesterday. And indeed, if this system and this pattern perpetuates, then I'm going to be better, I can be better tomorrow than I was today. Sometimes we get a little bit stymied. We get a little bit caught up on the sense that, you know, we are who we are. We are the people that we are, and we've sort of become. We already have effectively set ourselves into our own ways. We should remember that every time we wake up in the morning, we are expressing the fact that Hashem believes that we can be so much more. And we should also remember that whenever we yearn and we long for the Mashiach, and we insist that Mashiach can indeed come, it is an expression of faith not only in Hashem, your ability to bring Him, but an expression of faith in our ability ourselves to ultimately be worthy of that greatest of gifts. Let's recite the Tehillim. We'll begin with Parak Chaf, chapter 20. Lamanatzeach mizmor l'David, Ya'ancha Adonai b'yom tzara, Yisagevcha Shem Elohei Yaakov, Yishlach ezrcha mikodesh u'mitzion yis'adeka, Yizkor kol minchosecha v'olasecha yedashen esela. Yiten lecha chilvavecha v'chol atzatzecha yimalei. Niranina b'shuasecha uv'shem Eloheinu nidgol. Yimalei Adonai kol mishalosecha. Ata yodati ki hoshi'a Adonai mishicho ya'anehu mishimei kodshau bigviros yesha yiminau elev arechev v'elev asusim v'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir heima kara'u v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nisodad Adonai hoshi'a hamelech ya'anehu v'yom kareinu. Parak Chav Zayin, chapter 27. L'David Adonai, Ori v'yish'i, mimi ira, Adonai ma'oz chayai, mimi echad, v'krov alai mireim l'echol es bisari, tarai v'oyevai li, heima chashalu v'nafalu, im tachane alai machane lo yira libi, Im takum alai milchama bezos anivotei ach. Achas sha'alti me'ez Adonai, osah avakeish, shivti beves Adonai kol yimei chayai, lachazos b'no'am Adonai uvater beheichalou. Ki yitpineini besukou b'yom ra'a, yastireini b'seser acholou, b'tur yiromimeini. Yata Yarum Roshi Al Oyavai Sivivosai, the Ezbichava Aholo Zivhe Siru Ashira v'azamira l'Adonai. Shema Adonai koli ekra v'chaneni v'aneni. L'cha amai libi bakashu fanai es panecha Adonai avakesh. Al taster panecha mimeni. Al tas ba'af avdecha. Ezrasi ha'yisa al titesheni v'al ta'azveni Elohe yish'i. Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'adonai ya'asveni. Horeini Adonai darkecha uncheini. Ba'orech mishor l'ma'an shorirai. Al titeneni b'nefesh tzorai. Ki kamu v'ede sheker v'fe'ach chamas. Lulei ha'emanti l'ros betuv Adonai be'eretz chayim. Kavei el Adonai chazak v'ameitz libecha, v'kavei el Adonai. Perek Kuf Lamed 130. Shir ha'ma'alos mimamakim k'rasicha Adonai. Adonai shim'ave koli. Tichena oznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmar yah Adonai mi ya'amod. Kim licha hasilicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kivisi Adonai kivisa nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mishomerim l'boker. Shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedus. V'hu yichdes Yisrael mikol avonosav. Recite the Misha Berach for Cholim. Please insert the names of any you know who are in need of a refuah shlema when I pause. Mi sheberach avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, Moshe Aharon, David u'Shlomo, hu yivarech v'yirapes hacholim. Bavur shakol akal mispalim bavuram. Bishar zeh hakadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem. Lachli mamu raposom ha'u hachzikam hu hachiyosom. Yishlach lahem meira rifua shlema min hashamayim. Lichol evarehem ulchog yideihem. Besok sh'ar chalei Yisrael. Rifua sanefesh urfua saguf. Hashtar ba'agala ubizman kariv. V'nomar amein. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim bitzara ubshivya, ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayavasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem, v'yotziem mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afela la'ora u'mishibud l'g'ula, hashta ba'agala v'zman kariv, v'nomar amein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Bienenfeld. As we segue into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and community doing?
Baruch Hashem, doing well. Thank you so much for having me on. We're all really doing well. I would say, thank God, really first world problems in trying to manage a summer that's a little bit different. Kids aren't in camp. We're spending a lot more time at home and at home together, which I'm sure many can relate to as some of its challenges, but. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. We're really, it is a bracha, and it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be able to spend some quality time together in a way that we don't usually get the opportunity to.
Right. Well, we're all experiencing new norms at this time for sure, without a question. So let me ask you: did I get it right in the introduction? Is it Cherry Hills or Cherry Hill?
It is Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill.
And how frequently do people how frequently do people add the S?
Well, maybe this is something of a premonition. We hope to grow. We hope to expand. Maybe one day it'll be multiple hills, and we'll come to fruition of your bracha.
Amen. We hope so. So that's a great transition for us to get us started. For our listeners who may not be as familiar with the Young Israel, with Cherry Hill in general, could you share with us a brief overview of the Shul and the community in general?
Sure. I mean, Baruch Hashem, this is a rapidly growing community. We've been very pleased to see some real continued growth, some sustained growth since we've come to the community. We've been here for coming to the end of our sixth year now. At least on this side of Cherry Hill, on the west side, which is a little bit closer to Philadelphia, we have a couple of shuls. We have a kollel. We have a yeshiva. We also have a local day school that services the community in its entirety. Over a little bit further east, we have another couple of shuls. So a lot of infrastructure here. But you know what drew my wife and I would say to this community, even completely apart from the actual position, is I think what draws many. We are originally New Yorkers, like many are, and you know we wanted to be close at hand, you know, sort of arm's length, at the very least from family, but at the same time, we were looking for, you know, a quality of life at an affordable price point in which we could raise our family, build our family, and live our lives and really enjoy a community that, on the one hand, has plenty of infrastructure, is sort of close enough within range to the greater New York metro area, but at the same time was decidedly, you know, out of town, quote unquote. And we've been really thrilled with the ability to find all of that in what is really a suburb. For those who don't know, Cherry Hill is really a suburb of Philadelphia. Philadelphia as a whole, as an entire city, the entire greater community here is really very quickly growing for many of the reasons that I just outlined, and it's been wonderful to be a part of it all.
That's amazing. You have a great aquarium just over the border.
Ah, Baruch Hashem. Yeah, I wouldn't venture too far beyond the aquarium yet in the middle of Camden, but yes, hopefully again, maybe that'll be the next Cherry Hill.
Amazing. You really have the best of both worlds, being close enough. And I wonder, are there those who commute on a daily basis? I don't know about now during COVID, but maybe prior to Manhattan.
There are a few, and there are a handful of people for whom it just does work. The position works in New York, and haven't wanted to give it up. Usually goes hand in hand with, again, having family and being able to create some sort of maybe overnight arrangement, kind of once a week. There are people who do it every day. It's not something I would necessarily recommend to anybody who's looking to really put down roots in Cherry Hill. We really do see ourselves much more as a suburb of Philadelphia. We are, door to door. We're about 15 minutes right outside of Center City, Philadelphia. Philly's a huge city. You know, it pales in comparison to New York, but it's a robust metro area with job opportunities, with a lot going on for cultural opportunities, entertainment, you know, v'chule. So it's really a great city to be a part of. For the average person, I would say that tends to be more the center of gravity. But like I said, you know, the ability to be able to go see all of our family members who still do live in New York and be able to do a turnaround of, you know, just do it all in a Sunday has been a huge added benefit.
That's great. You really do have best of both worlds there. We've been hearing great stories, Rabinathal, from different communities, acts of chassadim, loving kindness, some miracle stories even, that some rabbis have raised them. We've heard about growth, during COVID, especially, during challenges, there's always opportunities for growth. Anything in that arena to share with us from your community?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to think about one particular story that sort of maybe encapsulates the entire experience that this has been. One little, you know, just I guess anecdote I'll share that comes to mind, not so much in terms of, you know, the lockdown itself, but as we've been reopening shul, I think one of the things that we've come to really appreciate, as much as it's been extraordinary, and seeing not only in our own community, but hearing the stories and hearing from colleagues and from people in other communities, how people have learned to see community as being beyond just the edifice that is the shul, and ways that they found to connect and help one another and learn together and perform chesed throughout the community and even beyond, find ways to even creatively kind of sort of daven together even when apart. I think it's all good, it's all true. I think one of the things that it also has helped to accentuate for all of us is, on the other hand, just how important that shul building is, and how precious it is, and how much we probably all took for granted something as simple as the ability to, you know, get up and go to shul. So, you know, as I mentioned, just with respect to even my own family, it's been It's been kind of like a different year and a different summer, and you know everybody's at home. What's been really extraordinary is that as we started to have minyanim again, there have been a couple of kids from the community. I mean, young kids, you know, well under bar mitzvah, who have been getting up, you know, every morning to come and join us for minyan in the morning at 6:45 in the morning. These are kids who are, you know, enjoying their summer. And two brothers, they're, you know, enjoying their summer. They can't be sleeping just about as late as they want. No real schedule to adhere to. Certainly not one that makes a demand to wake up so early. But they've been coming. They've obviously been bringing their father along. And just seeing that appreciation and the excitement that surrounds, like, I get to be back in shul now and see the motivation at such a young age has been something that I think we've all experienced a little bit, but seeing it in you know, those who are so young has been particularly extraordinary.
Wow, that really is extraordinary and really amazing to be able to motivate just through the pandemic, you know, those kids and really individuals across the spectrum who are, you know, reaching within and reaching out and really making differences and pushing themselves. Rabbi Wienefeld, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a brief picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and with the entire world. Our thoughts, our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community, with continued bracha, blessings, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, Master of the World, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration with Rabbi Gideon Moskovitz of the Maryland Minyan in Houston, Texas. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe.